With the third Sunday of Lent, we're nearing the midway point of the Lenten season. We're almost at the halfway point. Depending on if you're a person who tries to gauge the hours and minutes of how long Lent is, it occurs somewhere between this Thursday and this Friday. If you're not, later on this week is the midway point of Lent. But yet, nevertheless, we are there at that particular point. And so it just becomes a time, both with some thoughts that come to us in the Epistle and Gospel of today, and other thoughts that come up from the various prayers of the Mass, something for just to kind of step back and see, is Lent accomplishing for in us all that is designed by the Church for it, to give Lent to us? You know, the many graces that God gives are so unique during the Lenten season to assist us in such a great way. Again, it's not that God does not give grace. He always does whenever we ask for it. But during Lent, there's such an abundance of grace, particularly the graces for what we're reflecting upon this time of year, on amendment of our life, making the changes that we need to. There's an abundance of grace that can assist us in this way, that it just becomes important for us to actually call upon these graces, make that effort in doing that, and making these amends, these changes in our lives, where we see they need to be made, again, so that Lent can accomplish within us all that it's supposed to do. When the Church first gave us Lent so long ago, and when the apostles themselves first started to observe some of the first ideas of Lent. It's an important time of devotion, an important time of grace, and we want to make it see that it continues that way. Based on some thoughts from the Epistle and Gospel today, what I'd like to use as a part of this midway part of Lent, some of them help us to make this check upon ourselves, is actually to look upon one of the great graces that comes with the Lenten season as all part of this amendment of life. But one of the graces is to learn more and more of a true knowledge of ourselves. In other words, what it is that makes ourselves tick on the inside, if you will. To be able to look into ourselves and see, yes, these are our faults and failings, but not just that. But also to look into ourselves with all honesty and candor and true humility and say, these are the good things that God has done for me. These are the great gifts he has given me. I need to use them well, and maybe in some areas I've abused the goodness that God has done for me. You see, examinations of conscience do no good if all we concentrate on is our faults and failings and sins, because we're only seeing one part of the picture of God's work in our souls, that part of amendment and change, yes, that we need to do, and maybe it's an important part. But it would not be true before God to also, in our examinations of conscience, to reflect upon these points that God has given me these virtues. He has given me these abilities, these talents. I have a tendency toward these virtues and good works. I have a love for and devotion for the saint or whatever else it might be. God has given me these good things here, and now it's my examination of conscience. How have I used them? Have I used them well before God? You know, or have I abused them? God has been so good to me, and I have not returned that goodness back toward him. This is all we call a true knowledge of self. The saints tell us that after the gift of faith and after the gift of sanctifying grace, there was no greater great grace or gift that God can give to us is this true knowledge of self. God stands ready to give us this grace. This is what he wants us to accomplish. He wants us to know ourselves as we are before him, not as we think ourselves to be, but as we are before him. And he wants to give us that grace of enlightenment to see ourselves as we truly are before him. And when we receive that grace and we start working with it, this is why the saints call it the greatest of graces that we can have, because now we're starting to be honest with ourselves. Now we're going to start making progress in the service of God. Now we're actually going to make progress in loving God and knowing him in ways that we have never known him before. Because after all, if I know myself truly, as I should, and if I see some weaknesses there, I know, knowing myself, I'm not going to be able to strengthen myself, or it's going to take the grace of God. And God has shown so much love and mercy toward me all these times that with this true knowledge of self, it should lead me now toward God and to love him better and better. Part of the thoughts that come from this in the epistle of today, where St. Paul, in writing to the Ephesians, we take this section that's in today's epistle, where he's outlining for them conduct, certain things that can be done that are not worthy of those who call themselves children of God. Actually, to use his words, he says that these things, these particular sins that he mentions here, so not so much as be named among you as the saints of God. that if you are the holy ones of God, as we are to be, we're children of God from baptism, then our lives need to reflect it. You know, he says that we come to the closer, he says, walk as children of light, walk in all justice and holiness of truth. Abandon these sins, because if you are living for God, these sins should not be a part of your life in any way. And so that brings up the knowledge of self, a knowledge of ideas here. Are these weaknesses among me? If they are, I know my great good that God has given to me. Like no other, those who have not come to baptism, I am called and recognized by God as his child. He treats me, he guides me in that way, treats me with his providence, and look what I have returned for him. Not love for love, but abuse for the love that he has given me by calling me his child. It's an important knowledge of self to recognize, yes, these are some of my weaknesses, and by the grace of God, I'll be able to overcome them. In the gospel story of today, after our Lord has a battle, if you will, with the Pharisees, one of many, and those who come to my CCD classes know we've been talking about these of recent late, about these things, all the these events that lead up to the sufferings and passion of our Lord. But in this gospel story of today that the church brings before us, it is the opportunity to see that Jesus has cast the devil out of a particular man who could not speak. And the Pharisees were saying of him that he cast out devils because he has the power of the devil. He has a devil himself. That's why he could do it. And our Lord tried to reason with them and say, wait a minute, do you think the devil would cast himself away from his own kingdom? If you really think that, you've got it wrong. He says, I, by the finger of God, by the power of God, I'm the one doing these great works among you. The devil can't do this among themselves. He wouldn't. If he has hold of somebody, you think he's going to cast himself out? Of course not. The power of God is working here. But after explaining that, he opens to us, just in a few lines, an important lesson of human nature, that if we have true knowledge of self, we will admit this as true, and maybe admit of ourselves where we have fallen into it in our points of weakness. And that comes when the points of spiritual conversion starts to take place. By the grace of God, we recognize these are our faults and failings and maybe even sins. By the grace of God, we are so sorry for them that we stop committing them in our lives. Unfortunately, though, because of the weakness of human nature, just because we have put away something from our life, just because maybe we have started to overcome a bad habit or whatever else it might be, just because we do that does not mean we might not fall into the danger of having it happen again. We'd be foolish to think that now, you know, I can go on as if I've conquered a particular sin. It will never more trouble me. And I can be around things that are usually used to be an occasion of sin for me. They're not anymore. I can still just go ahead and live this way and everything's fine. Our Lord is saying here, no. These bad habits, he calls them evil spirits and devils. These bad habits now come back upon people. They're there. They're present. Okay, and it's very possible they will come here. They will see here. They'll start to take possession back in your soul. And if you let them, if you fall back into those bad habits again, after knowing and after a period of time of having them go away from your life, our Lord warns us the last state of that man is worse than the first. Before it might have been through weakness. Now it's almost malice of heart, foolishness of saying, I'm strong, I can overcome it. If you've ever been around people who are trying to conquer the problem with alcoholism, and maybe they're working on that steps plan that's out there. It used to be a Catholic plan in the beginning, you know, and then it was kind of co-opted by a secular means, but yet nevertheless, they're really trying, they're working on it. One thing is the people who are being honest with themselves and know themselves when they're suffering that kind of an addiction or trying to conquer any other addiction, one type of people who are really honest, really trying, the one thing they will tell you is, I have to do this day by day. Because I could easily fall and slip back into those bad habits. I can't put myself in those occasions again. I can't be around these people. I can't go to those places. Those were the things that led me down before. I know myself. I am weak. And if I do not acknowledge that particular knowledge of myself that I have here, acknowledge it, work with it, understand it, and be honest with myself, then I'm going to fall and become even more miserable than I was before. That lesson that many people put into practice is what our Lord is teaching the gospel story of today. And how important it is to have this true knowledge of ourselves so that we can understand the evilness of sin and its consequences. And again, that knowledge of the evilness of sin and its consequences chiefly comes by this proper knowledge of ourselves. To those here who have taken the holy slavery according to the method of St. Louis de Montfort, the total consecration to Jesus through Mary, in your first parts and in part of the renewals there's always this period of reflections that take place weeks before you actually take that act of consecration. The soul and the heart need to be prepared. One of those steps that St. Louis de Montfort says is absolutely essential, long before we can come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ or even the knowledge of Mary working in our soul, he says the essential thing we have to have is a knowledge of self. We cannot conquer ourselves, we cannot do anything good for God and others if we do not come to this good and true knowledge of self. He says it's absolutely essential. It's important to make this progress. The saints also tell us that. They say that this knowledge, the good, true knowledge of ourselves, keeps us from false illusions, a false optimism. You see, this true knowledge of ourselves is truly the point of humility. It is wrong knowledge. If someone is trying to embark upon this good thing to do, hearing what this is, that it's the greatest grace to have, is to have a knowledge of self. And the only way of striving for knowledge of self that you say is all these negative ideas. I'm a sinner. I'm corrupted. God should hate me. God doesn't like me. And all these particular things. Those are the words of prideful people. That has nothing to do with a true knowledge of self. It doesn't. Yes, maybe we're sinners, but we all are. Okay, we all are. And only concentrating on that aspect of my knowledge of self gives no glory to God. It's not a pathway of true humility. Like I said, it's truly pride. If we were truly humble, we'd be truthful. And part of our humility in that is say, God has given me these good things. He has inspired me this way. And how have I used these good things he has given me? I must acknowledge those things from God. That's true humility that takes place. It's false humility to be wrapped up in this point of a negativity. You know, perhaps you've met people, worker in school, they call themselves recovering Catholics. The ones who say that the only thing they ever got of Catholicism was guilt, 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 guilt. That's the only thing they ever heard about Catholicism. Only heard priests preaching them all these things about sin and repentance and guilt, guilt, guilt. Maybe, of course, that's what some priests had done, but maybe that's all that they ever heard and didn't hear the other part of what was being preached, of the practice of virtue, the doing of good. And so they so concentrated on the negative side, they totally missed the positive side, and their whole spirituality turned to bitterness against the Catholic faith. That way they become recovering Catholics. You see, knowledge of ourselves must be true, must be embarked upon in the proper way. It must be done candidly, without false humility, seeing what is good. Look into the gifts of the mind that God has given to us. Look at the will that we have. God has given us these particular graces. Am I strong here? Am I weak in these areas? Look at my character that I have. Look at the dispositions that I have toward the things of God, the things for my neighbor, and so forth. Look at my convictions that I have. Do I have strong convictions regarding the things of God, prayer, and so forth? And if I do, do I turn them into good habits? Do I act upon them? This is just a small part of what we need to do to come to this true knowledge of ourselves. It's going to take courage and humility at times, because at times we're going to have to see that instead of walking the path of God like we should have, with all the good that God has given me, with all the constant graces he showers down on me, instead, I have added to the strength of my bad habits and my evil tendencies by resisting the grace of God. I've been my own worst enemy. I'm not going to blame God. I won't blame anybody else. It's me. I'm the one here who needs to make the amendment. I'm the one here who needs to make the change. That's the pathway to true knowledge of self. But understand this, and this is also something that the saints throw at us right here, right now. It's like a splash of cold water across the face. Because maybe at this point we're saying, yes, okay, I haven't been having this true knowledge of self. I see it as an important grace for me. It's something I must work on and really strive for. Understand this from what the saints say too. True self-knowledge is difficult to obtain. Why is it difficult? Because most people don't make the effort to do it. Maybe after a day or two, they get a little bit understanding of themselves. Either they don't like what they see, or they see it takes work. they want this understanding of myself. I see my weaknesses here or whatever, the strengths that I have from God. I'm not using them quite as I should. I want this instant conversion upon myself. I want this instant change. Just like oatmeal in the morning and pour hot water on and boom, I've got a bowl of oatmeal. That fast. Well, it takes 3 minutes to set up. But still, it's fast. And that's what they want for my spiritual life, too. My spiritual life, just because I see it, boom, it should happen. Where is God in this particular point? And then they give up. And going back to the gospel of today, the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. No. The problem with us as human beings is we're attracted to the outer things. We are creatures of sense, which keep us on the outer things. The interior life is not that easy, and in fact, most people don't have enough care for it. And that's why they don't come to a true knowledge of ourselves, because to study ourselves on the inside is something that is truly complex. We are, after all, creatures of body and soul, flesh and spirit. The unique working of flesh and spirit together here and understanding how it works and works in me now, not in other people, but how it works in me, it takes a light that comes gradually and dawns upon. Don't get me wrong, every now and then, God's going to send more than just a 60-watt bulb. It'll be a million-watt bulb. Occasionally just comes, bam, right here, just a light to my soul and says, boy, I haven't seen this before, but this is now I know what I should do. And at that point, it's going to take great attention, great insight, great honesty, and great courage and perseverance on my part to really use that special grace that God has given right now that has enlightened me in such a way to actually use it to gain true self-knowledge and to embark upon the pathway that I know I should. Ultimately, what it comes down to here, in order to accomplish this, as difficult as it might be, it takes grace. We cannot do it by ourselves. And that grace comes chiefly by prayer, but prayer to the Holy Ghost. This is where the Holy Ghost comes in. The duty, the responsibility, whatever you want to turn it, of the way of God's, of the God the Holy Ghost, his work in the souls of men, is chiefly to help to enlighten and to strengthen. Well, this is what we're asking for. Enlighten me. Enlighten me of the things about myself and in the pathway of God. Strengthen me in the doing of good and avoiding evil. It's exactly what the job of the Holy Ghost is. And that's what our importance here is to do. But also the saints tell us, the spiritual writers on this topic, they say if we're going to make progress this way, is that we have to make constant, honest, regular examinations of conscience. You know, that day-to-day thing that maybe as children we did, but when we came again older, we kind of gave up. And because we've given it up, we don't have that check back to ourselves. Or maybe every now and then we make that check to it. But it has to be more regular than that. It has to be honest. It has to be something that's done daily. And every now and then, particularly I would say during the Lenten season, to actually go a little bit deeper. Use this particular time here to actually take a time of reflection. Come, make a visit in church for a period of time. Use that opportunity to be in the quiet of God, in the presence of God here in church, and to listen to him talking to you in your soul. And he's trying to point out to you, these are the strengths I've given you, and here is what you have not done with them. He's going to give at that moment the great grace of knowledge of self. That on that annual thing, we get really down to the business of it, and then the day-to-day things is just to keep us on that path, keep us going. So that light that comes gradually, more and more shines into our souls. This idea, this examination of conscience is so important. And so that's why I'd like to propose it here as the work of amendment for us. Another thing is to amend in working during this Lenten season. Amend our whole attitude toward examination of conscience. See the importance of it. If we really believe this point, that knowledge of self is the most important, the best knowledge we can ever gain, the greatest grace that God can give to us after the gift of the true faith and after sanctifying grace, the greatest gift God can give to us, this knowledge of self, true knowledge of self, knowing ourselves as we really are before God, not as we pretend we think we are or how we try to pretend to others how we are, but actually how we are before God. You know, it's that knowledge that we're looking for, and examination of consciences really help with that. So if we're convinced of the importance of this, then we have to take the means to get there. There's a principle that's out there in philosophy, it's also in moral life and things of that nature. If I will the end, you know, if I want this particular goal, then I also have the will for the means to get there. If I know I've got to accomplish these particular things, whatever. I have to get from here to a grocery store. I know I can't just beam me up, Scotty, and go over there. I'm going to have to drive or walk or do something to get there. If I'm going to get to a goal, I also have in mind the pathway it takes to do that. If I want the goal of true knowledge of self, well, I'm going to also have to have the will to do what it takes to get there. And if good examinations of conscience are part of it, then that's what I'm going to do. And again, to amend my life regarding this, where I may have been mistaken about it before or taken it too lightly and not as important as it is as an exercise to help me toward this great grace that God wants to give to me. He's ready to. I just have to do all that I need. One last thought that goes with this. Maybe in your missals you have the prayers of St. Augustine, the thoughts of St. Augustine that's in your prayers after Mass for Thanksgiving, after Communion. One part of that prayer, it's just a short thing, but it becomes a prayer that has come down through the ages since his lifetime. And it's something that people who want to really accomplish this true knowledge of self, it's people who pray just this short prayer that comes from that greater prayer of St. Augustine. And it is, may I know myself. It's a petition to God. I want to know myself as I should. I want to know myself as thou, dear God, sees me. Make me know myself. May I know that. May I know myself. That's the prayer of a humble soul. That's the prayer of one who really wants to live for God, to act as a child of light, to be enlightened by God, because we know it's only going to come from him that I have this true knowledge. May I know myself. A short prayer, and yet if prayed well, will bring us many graces and accomplish this good work of true knowledge of myself. May I know myself. Make that the prayer for this coming week, and you'll see how much help it brings to you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.